Well, amen. Welcome, welcome this morning. So glad you guys made it out. If you're watching online, we're happy to have you online. And like Pastor Jason said there, I'm sure there's a number of you at home. So thank you for joining us today. I'm excited about what God is doing in our community of faith. If you're out here for the first time or second time, I'm not pointing you guys out, sitting by my wife, but welcome. And we just want to say thank you guys so much for coming out and being a part of this community of faith. And I'm excited for Pastor Josh to get back and talk about our vision moving forward. I tell you what, we kicked off the year. It was wonderful last week. Pastor Ray came, and I tell you what, God is doing great things in our community of faith. And this week, we are in 21 days of prayer. We started last week, right here. I really do encourage you, if you don't, okay, Ronnie, okay. All right, very good, thank you, Ronnie. It's gonna be hard to take notes. I'm gonna have to move this over. I ruin everything, Ronnie, I'm sorry. Anyways, let's start over. Hi, I'm Mike, and welcome to Center Church. So this has been great for me this week. And I want to let you know, if you just want to start, we have these outside. You can catch up or just start for this week, start today. And I tell you what, I'll be honest with you, I probably kept like 70% of the things I said I was going to do, okay? So you're in good shape. If you started and you said, man, I'm going to do this during my 21 days of prayer, and you've fallen a little bit short, that is absolutely okay. Get up, start fresh this week, and see what God's going to do. But we're doing this as a community. And so every morning that I have been able to get up, I pray for our community of faith very first thing. And I think that's what we need in this season. A lot of us have been sick. A lot of us have been dealing with a lot of deaths in our family here recently. And I tell you what, it's like Pastor Jason said, we started the year fresh. But I tell you what, greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. Jesus reigns on high. And we have victory. We have victory because we serve the living God. Amen. So this week, we looked at in our 21 days a prayer, we've looked at a personal relationship with God, how to cultivate it. We've looked at confession. We've looked at transformation. We looked at praying through unbelief. We were able to look at God's goodness and welcoming the Holy Spirit into our prayers. And then we looked at, last of all, listening, being able to hear God's voice. Mother Teresa said, God speaks in the silence of our heart. And listening is the beginning of prayer. I like that God speaks in the silence of our heart, and listening is the beginning of prayer. So God, once again, we come, Lord, and I pray today, Lord, that as we talk about prayer, God, that it'll be more than just a word, it'll be more than just something that Christians do, but it's something, God, that we can embrace, especially in the seasons of life so many of us are going through. So God, I just pray, anoint your word today, God, that as the scripture is being read, let it move our hearts, God, towards you. As we read the scripture today, God, let it help us, Lord, lean into you and begin to apply your great grace and great mercy into our lives. Amen. So today, if there is one truth about prayer that I could share with each and every one of us, it is that Jesus desires that we would pray not traditionally, but relationally. Do you hear that? That God's desire is not that we pray traditionally, but we pray relationally. I love that Jesus valued prayer so much that he said, my house shall be called what? A house of prayer. And it's interesting, the background was when they would have these feasts that they would be offering sacrifices to God. There'd be money changers and people there selling, animals to be sacrificed onto the Lord. And one day, Jesus enters into the temple to see that there's so many money changers that people can't even get into the temple. And the Bible says that Jesus said, it is written, my house shall be called the house of prayer. And he started overthrowing all the tables and the chairs, he even got a whip and started whipping the vendors, right? That'd be a crazy swap meet, wouldn't it, you know? And Jesus shows up at the swap meet at Kobe's, and you're at Chick-fil-A, and you see all these people running outside. But you know what was interesting? What happened right after that? It says that the blind and the lame were able to enter the temple, and he healed them. That's why he did it, because those that were blind, those that were lame, they didn't have access into the temple to worship God. And he said, no, that's not going to happen on my watch. And it's wonderful. So it's God's desire for us to know that it's his desire that you feel comfortable to enter into his presence. God says, all are welcomed to come into my presence. Prayer is not for the selective few. Jesus came so all of us could enjoy fellowship with him. Did you hear that? Jesus came so all of us could enjoy fellowship with him. I love 1 John 1:1-4. It says, what was from the beginning, what we have heard, what we have seen with our eyes, what we have looked at and touched with our hands concerning the word of life. And the life was revealed, and we have seen and testify and proclaim to you that eternal life, which was with the Father and was revealed to us. And it goes on to say these words that Jesus said, it's here. What we have seen and heard, we proclaim to you also, that you too may have fellowship with us, and indeed our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. These things we write so that our joy may be complete. You know what I love about this scripture? It describes what prayer is. It describes exactly what Jesus meant when we prayed to him. What John is describing here is an intimacy with Jesus, a vulnerability, a transparency, a communication that was more than simply words. John was saying that we have touched with our hands the word of life, and we have fellowship with the Father and Son, and we write these things that our joy might be complete. But what John was saying, it's also God's desire that you might have fellowship with him, that you might enter into a relationship with him. John was saying, this isn't just for the apostles. This just isn't for the preacher. This just isn't for the worship people. It is for everyone that calls upon my name. I want to have relationship with you. This is so important. It's the key to our foundations in the faith, is communicating with Christ and letting Christ communicate back to us. And that's why I love this word, that when we fellowship, we actually enter into a collaboration with the Almighty God. When we fellowship, when we pray, we actually enter into a great collaboration with God. And if you have your notes today, we're going to look at collaboration. And it says, collaboration is the action of working with someone to produce or to create something. Collaboration, the action of working with someone to produce or create something. On the next note, one of the greatest collaborations of all time is that we spend with God. One of the greatest collaborations of all time is the time that we actually spend with God. It is as we read God's word. It's as we pray. God is able to produce and create something special in our life. And not only in our life, all of those that are around us. When we collaborate with God, something takes place. As Joshua says, the super comes down in our natural. Amen? On the next note, prayer is acknowledging, listen to this, a complete dependence, trust, and faith in God. One has said about the word intimacy, it really means into me you see. That's what it means. That word intimacy, into me you see. Prayer is the place where we can be transparent with the Holy Trinity and know when in prayer. When we're in prayer, it is the safest place that we can be on the earth. You know, when we come into prayer, it's the safest place you and I can be, because it's a place where we can just be. We don't have to be anything else but who we are. It's a place where there's nothing hidden before God. It's a place where we can embrace the presence of Christ right now into our lives. Are some of you feeling overwhelmed? Are some of you feeling confused? Are some of you feeling discouraged this morning? Are some of you looking for divine direction this morning? You know what we need to do? We need to become dependent. We need to have trust. In this season of our life, we need to have faith that God cares about what's going on in our life. And it begins in prayer. No matter what anybody tells you, it begins in prayer. It begins at a place where you say, God, I want to collaborate with you today. I want to invite you into my life today. I love in the book of Luke, the disciples asked the Lord, they say, Lord, teach us to pray. I remember the first time I was a young man in the Navy, and I used to travel in the Navy, and I became a believer when I was 19 years old. And I was not in the church, raised in the church, had a little bit of church in me. I had more church's chicken in me than I did the Bible, let me put it that way. And, that was a new joke, thank you. Can't steal that, Josh, okay, all right. So anyways, I remember going to church into this prayer meeting. I saw a man praying over the book of Philippians, and he was saying, Lord, that I might leave all things behind and I might press forward to the high calling of Christ Jesus. I sat there and watched this man pray as he opened up the scripture when he was on his knees. And he just began to pray the scriptures, and he was inviting those scriptures. It changed my life. It radically changed the way I viewed God. I'm so glad that I showed up for that divine appointment. I didn't care about what was preached that night. I just remember this man praying the scripture, and from that moment forward, I began to pray the scripture. And I began to once again open up the Beatitudes. If someone hits you on the left cheek, turn around and hit them with the right cross. No, that's not what Jesus said. He said, turn your other cheek. Do good to those that do bad to you. Go the extra mile. And I say, God, help me go the extra mile. God, help me. I begin to pray the Holy Scripture, and something began to transform in my life. The moment I begin to apply the word in prayer, it transformed me. Just the other day, I had a big meeting, and I was with some big people. Not that they're big people. A lot of them are actually really small, but they got big positions. And they're about my size, so none of them were that big, actually. So, but I began to say, God, you have not given me a spirit of fear, but a power and of a sound mind before I went to the Lord. I began to say, Lord, you are my shepherd. I shall not want, because you exceed already all that I can ask for. If you put me here, you're going to give me the ability to do what I have to say, do what I have to do, get done with what I have to get done, because God, you said you'd never leave me or forsake me. And I'm saying this as I'm going into the meeting, because I need God to intervene. I need something greater than me. And I tell you, it's prayer. It's prayer. Second of all, we want to look at start praying now. Don't wait. Don't start praying now. I mean, you can pray now, but listen to me while you're praying, okay? You know, like Josh says, I put a lot of time into this, okay? I want you to listen, okay? No, let's start praying now. Matthew 6:7 says, and when you pray, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think they will be heard for their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. Pray then this, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts. Now look at, we like to miss these words, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And in the Matthew 6, it says, for thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. So on your notes, prayer invites God's presence into our present circumstance on earth. So they're asking, Lord, we need to pray. And he said, well, when you pray, pray these words. And it's interesting, Jesus said, pray your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. See, what I love about this is God is saying, Jesus is saying that right now, how many of you need heaven on earth in your life?
How many of you guys need the presence of God right now, daily? How many daily need the presence of God to come down into your life? And that's what Jesus was saying. Lord, we're praying that your kingdom come right here, right now. And he said, we can pray this daily, not weekly, not monthly, not when we go to church on Easter and Christmas, but every day we can invite that presence of God into our circumstance, into our situation. And oftentimes in the book of Luke, you see Jesus going out to a solitary place. Why? Because he wanted to invite God's presence into his circumstance. So when he got down off the hill, he could minister to people and share what God had put in his life. He was always strong because he was always in communion. He was always strong and he conquered because he always had that oneness with God. He cared more about this vertical relationship. Because that vertical relationship was good, he was able to minister side to side. Yep, yep. He was able to minister. He was full of the Holy Spirit when he came. So that he was able to minister. We have to take time. You can say, oh, I took 3 weeks off a vacation and that's great. But did it refresh you? Then the first day you got back, life was a bummer again. It's nothing wrong with getting away. I want to get away sometimes. Sometimes my wife wants to get away, hopefully with me. But anyways, I love this scripture. Hebrews chapter 4, 14 through 16 says, since then we have a great high priest that has passed through the heavens, Jesus the Son of God. Let us hold fast our confession, for we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weakness, but one who in every respect was tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace. Let's say that together. Let us with confidence draw near to the throne of grace that we may receive mercy and grace in a time of need. How many this morning could use a little bit of grace? How many could use a little bit of mercy? Somebody has said grace is getting what we don't deserve. Mercy is not getting what we do deserve, right? Oh, Lord, sometimes I need mercy. Relationships, addictions, employment, loneliness. What this scripture is saying is this great high priest, he cares for you, and you have the opportunity to come right boldly before the throne of grace. Boldly before the throne of grace. I was, a long time ago, I was in a pastor's office, and, you know, my son had a great relationship with this pastor, and my son was just young. Anybody else would come in the office, the pastor would get all upset, but it was amazing that my son could just open up the door, run into the office. Hey, what's going on? He didn't care who was sitting there. He didn't care who was around him. He just wanted to come in. And it was funny, the grace that the pastor had that I didn't always think was that graceful, but that affection that he had towards my son, that he could come anytime. You can come anytime before the throne of grace to find that mercy that you need. In your notes, prayer acknowledges our need for both spiritual and physical needs. Jesus told us that man shall not live by bread alone, but by what? Every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. So it's amazing that he said, when you pray to your Father, daily when we pray to our Father, how many know that we need the Word of God? That we cannot live by bread alone. God will take care of our physical needs abundantly beyond, but we also need to have our spiritual manna. It's interesting. I love our community of faith. Every day we get a scripture. Someone's sending a scripture. Becky's sending Pastor Warren. She goes, hey, here's your daily manna. I mean, I can't. I'm like, hey, guys, I'm trying to work, you know, and bing, 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 bing. And then all of a sudden I look. Then I'm frustrated. I'm like, what are these guys saying? I won't say what else when I call you when you're doing that. I'm like, ah. But then I look, oh, trust in the Lord, Mike. Lean not on your own understanding. Hey, God's greater than our circumstance. Then I'm like, oh, you guys are so smart, aren't you, right? And so, but we need that. That's why we need this. When we have this announcements for groups, we need our spiritual bread daily. We need to have fellowship daily. We need to be in the Word daily. In our next note, it says, prayer acknowledges our need for forgiveness. It also gives us compassion to forgive others. Wow, that's crazy, isn't it? It says, when you pray to your Father, you say, Father, forgive me of my sins. But then he says, as I forgive others their sins. I think this is one we like to skip over a lot, right? And when I was putting this together, I'm like, all right, Lord, I know I need to preach. I know I need to teach. Okay, I'll meddle. All right, so this is a, you know, I want to talk about this thing about forgiveness today. I think it's one of the most important Christian character traits that we have as believers. I believe we're closest to Jesus when we're leading someone to the Lord or when we're forgiving somebody that's done us wrong. And I know some of you, and I'm going to say something right now, if you are physically being abused, if you are mentally right now being abused, you may need to seek counsel. And so when we talk about forgiveness, I am not talking about the wrong actions that people have done to you. The wrong actions, we're not excusing the wrong actions that people do to us. If I walked up to Josh right now and just smacked him, then I said, brother, you got to forgive me 70 times 7, right? No, it doesn't mean I get to smack him 69 times more, right? No, what it means is that we do things that are wrong. How many, he says, and it's interesting that this is a daily prayer. How many need to confess sins daily sometimes? You know? How many, you know what, and I want to say something today, and it's sort of on forgiveness because I believe it's so essential in the culture that we're living in right now, the hatred that is in our culture right now, the bipolar, partisan, everything that we're in this culture right now. People have these great deep roots of bitterness in their life. You know, and it's sad. It's sad. And when it comes in the church, it's even sadder. And if you are going through some type of abuse, if something's going on in your life verbally, mentally, physically, seek counsel, seek help. And I don't want to excuse the people that are doing those very bad things to you, but one thing I want to say the other day, and I tell my wife I won't cry anymore when I'm preaching, so I won't. No, but something happened just recently in my own personal life, and things go on in life. We do things in life, and there's a ripple effect sometimes what people do in their life. Kids are left alone. Kids are abandoned. Things happen in life, right? Things happen. We have made mistakes. Has anybody ever wronged anybody in here? Has anybody ever really hurt somebody in here? Has anybody ever really just did wrong? And then maybe years and years later, someone's done wrong to you, and they come back years and years later to say that I'm sorry. What's your reaction to that? Well, you know what? I begin to really think about this, about forgiveness. When you don't forgive, you know what? The Bible says through his stripes we're healed. You know what? My sin was placed on Jesus' back, maybe at this spot. But you know what? Your sin was right next to my sin. You hear what I'm saying? Does that make sense? So when we don't forgive, what we're saying is, God, your body, your blood that you shed on the cross, you know what, that person, that convict, that murderer, them people, their sin is placed on that same body of Jesus Christ's. And that's why Paul said, love and forgive one another as Christ forgave you. If you're struggling with unforgiveness, seek counsel right now. I want you to pray to God. I want you to wrestle with God over it, but really seek counsel so you can work that thing out. Because what happens in people that don't forgive, there's a thing called the root of bitterness that begins to root in your life, and it manifests in your life, and it destroys all the wonderful things that God's going to do. Because you know what? There's one thing that Jesus came to do, and that was to forgive man of their sins. And he said, you are to be my disciples, and you're going to follow me. And it says, if you confess your faults to one another, guess what? You'll be forgiven and you'll be healed. So forgiveness is such a big part of our daily prayer life, is cultivating forgiveness. And I know I didn't want this to be like a sad note here, but some of you need to deal with that. I know I deal with that in my life. I remember years ago, and I want to stay on this point. I'll get to the next point. You know, when I became a Christian at 19 years old, me and my dad, man, we had some very rough years growing up in Michigan. We had some really rough years, and at the end, we got better before I joined the Navy, and some shifting took place in my life. But one day when I was out to sea and I'm reading the scripture, and I was probably even reading this one where it's talking about forgiveness, it dawned on me that my dad was just a man. Given a life circumstances himself, going through things himself, living life himself, trying to figure out how to raise six kids like me, would that drive anybody crazy, right? And so I began to think, Lord, if you forgave me of the foolishness I have conducted only in 19 years of life, who am I not to forgive my father? Who am I not to forgive him? He's a human who's making mistakes. So I wrote him a beautiful letter saying, Dad, forgive me also. I've not been the greatest child. I've not been the greatest kid that ever lived and walked on earth. And I just want to let you know, I love you. You know, my dad came to Jesus Christ. My mom accepted the Lord. You know what? There's something powerful about forgiveness. Let that set. There's something powerful when you're able to forgive somebody their trespass. Amen? All right, how's those Padres doing this year, guys? Anyways, what about those goals? Yeah, good job. And also, prayer acknowledges our need for strength over temptation and weaknesses. And all of us says, Lord, I like that bumper sticker says, I don't need to be, Lord, don't lead me to temptation. I can find it myself, right? You know, a lot of us, you know, it's rough sometimes. And every day saying, God, be my covering. I know you're not going to give me more than I can challenge, but Lord, you see the weaknesses of my flesh. You see the things that I'm prone to do that aren't wise. Help me, Lord. Help me, and God will help us. Amen. And we want to look at point number three. All are welcome to pray. All of us are welcome to pray. Earlier in the chapter of Matthew 6, Jesus says, do not pray like a Pharisee. And you know, they got their name because they weren't fair, you see. All right, anyways. Just for you that are slower, okay, waking up, okay. And they were sad, you see, you know, the other ones. But Matthew 6, verse 5 says, and when you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners, that they may be seen by others. Truly I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you pray, go into your room and shut the door. And when you pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. You know what I love about this passage? More than anything, Jesus said when you pray our Father. It's personal. Remember I said let us not pray traditionally? We pray relationally. He said when you go in the room, our Father. Jesus said my Father is also your Father. So wonderful to know that our Father, he said, my Father, guys, is also your Father. This is not just a prayer for the select few. When you see this prayer, when Jesus said, pray our Father, he's saying you can pray relationally with the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. You can pray relationally. You can speak. Prayer is not for a select few. Jesus was saying all is welcomed into his courts. All of you are welcomed. Come, he said, come. You are a part of the family of God. You're chosen of God. And because he chose you, that means he loves you. That means he wants to have relationship with you. And you know when he wants to have that relationship with you? Right now. Right now, God wants to have a relationship with you. God wants to have a conversation with you right now. Some of you say, I do not know how to pray. Well, I'm going to tell you the only failed prayer is the prayer that's not spoken. You know, the only prayer that's a bad prayer is the one that you don't speak. It's the one you don't communicate. It's the one you don't say. I would never got married if I never spoke to my wife. I just looked at her. You know my intentions. Uh-huh. Oh, yeah. All right, right? You know, there had to be communion. There had to be words. I'm sorry. 34 years of this. Gosh. And, yeah. She's still praying. So the big thing here is this, is that there is only one qualification for a good prayer. That is an individual's honest, sincere, transparent collaboration with God. There's only one qualification for a good prayer. That is an individual's honest, sincere, transparent collaboration with God. You know, as I'm reading the book of Luke as we close today, you know, the whole Christmas story. And I'm going to say something for those that have been praying a long time and you haven't seen it happen yet. You know, there's a man named Zacharias in the book of Luke chapter 1. He was a righteous man, blameless, both him and his wife, Elizabeth. And it's really interesting there that the scripture tells us about this man, that he is blameless. And when he was in the temple, the angel of the Lord came to him and said, Zacharias, the Lord has heard your prayer. And a few sentences later, Zacharias says, how is this going to be now? I am old in age, and so is Elizabeth, old in age. What's interesting, you know, as young kids, I'm sure they prayed. I'm sure they were praying for a child. But God had a purpose and a time for that prayer to be answered. Just because you haven't seen the prayer answered right now, God is in the process. God says, you can't have a child until this guy named Joseph is born, right? And look at, you can't have this child until this woman Mary is born. And you know what? You can't have this child because there's a guy named Simeon that's in the temple that after Jesus is born, I already told him that he would see the Son of God come. All those things had to play out perfectly. Just because your prayers aren't answered right now doesn't mean that God is not going to answer your prayer. There's a purpose, there's a provision, and then we have to trust God's process, right? We have to lean into God, that God is the God that knows when to answer our prayers. So important. And, you know, as I begin to think about the whole Christmas story, you know why all of that happened? You know why Jesus went to the manger? You know why Jesus did his ministry? You know why Jesus went to the cross? For one reason. One, to forgive you and that you could have a conversation with him. He did all of that so you would pray. He broke the veil. He broke the temple. He said, it doesn't matter if you're a Gentile. Doesn't matter if you're a Jew. Doesn't matter if you're a Greek. Doesn't matter if you're a slave. You're not a slave. Rich, poor, woman. It doesn't matter. All are welcome to pray. Everything about Christmas is for one reason. So you could talk to God and have a relationship with Jesus. And why don't we do it? Because we're religious. Because we think, oh, I don't know how to pray. Oh, I don't know what to say. You have friends that you could talk to on the phone for 18 hours a day. Just hang up on them and start talking to God. Oh, Mary, blah, 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 blah. Hey, did you hear about Josh? Blah, blah. Oh, no, no, I'm just kidding. No. But you know what? Everything that happened that Jesus did was so we could come in communion and have fellowship with him. I love that. You know, how many of you have a friend or family member that you can talk for on hours and have an intimate conversation, confess your faults, confess your sins. When you need that, reach out and help, oh Lord. I'm telling you, that is great. That's a Christian, that's a great Christian core value. That's a great thing to have. I thank God for all my brothers. You know, I thank God for all my brothers. You know, our men's group, our community group on Saturdays, sometimes we're just laughing the whole time. Sometimes we're crying. Sometimes we're confessing. Sometimes we're saying, hey, it isn't all that in a bag of chips this week. But the biggest thing we do at the end, we bring that all to God. And you know what? There's never a time that I've walked out of a prayer meeting. There's never a time I've walked out of a communion service. Never a time I've walked out of a worship service. I said, man, I feel a lot worse that I did that. I always feel better. In this world, you go out in this world, you read the newspapers, you got to go to work with people that aren't Christians, you're dealing with life, family, people, and all that, and man, you say, man, I feel a lot dirtier today. And once you pray, read the word, worship God, you come out a lot cleaner. So in this 21 days of prayer, on the very first thing, they ask for a confession. What is the one thing you're going to confess? And on the screen, it says, mine was, Lord, I confess that I need you. Period. Thank you that in Christ, I can experience your grace, forgiveness, and love. Let me tell you something today. Let's close our eyes and bow our heads today. And Lord, we just take this time to pray. Lord, I did the best I could to communicate it. Just to say how much, man, I tell you, I thank you, Lord. Thank you. Teach us to pray, God. Teach us to seek you. Teach us not to seek you traditionally. Teach us to seek you relationally. There's people in here today that you are overburdened, overwhelmed. It's above your head. And you say, I need a breakthrough. Well, I'm telling you, if there's no wall, you don't need a breakthrough. God's a God that can break a wall. He brought down the walls of Jericho. If you would just begin to talk to God and believe God. So, Lord, I pray for everyone here today. Lord, today we're starting the second week of our 21 days of prayer. I pray, Lord, that each and every one of us, whether it's 1 minute, 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 20 minutes, 1 hour, I pray that we would never take advantage of that wonderful thing that you provided for us, that we boldly can come before your throne of grace to find help and grace in a time of need. God, there's people right now, I pray for them. As they're praying right now, I agree in prayer with them, God, that you help them overcome, that you help free them, that you help provide them a joy that surpasses their understanding. I pray, God, for people today that they're praying for healing in their relationships. I pray for people today, Lord, that they're discouraged and they're depressed and they feel lonely. I pray, God, that you would lift them up today. I pray that they would come to you, Lord, that they might be able to touch the hem of your garment. And Lord, that they might be healed today. Lord, we thank you for all the wonderful things that you're doing in this community of faith. I pray, God, that we would be a house that prays. I pray that we'd be a house that would seek you. You said if your people that are called by your name would humble themselves, God, and seek you, God, that you could do greater things than we could ever imagine doing them on our own. So, Lord, right now we trust you, we commit to you, and we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Praise the Lord.